In business, they say you can have better, cheaper, or faster, but you only get to pick two. What if you could have all three at the same time? That's exactly what Cohere, Thomson Reuters, and Specialized Bikes have since they upgraded to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. OCI is the blazing fast platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs, where you can run any workload in a high availability, consistently high performance environment, and spend less than you would with other clouds. How is it faster? OCI's block storage gives you more operations per second. Cheaper? OCI costs up to 50% less for computing, 70% less for storage, and 80% less for networking. Better? In test after test, OCI customers report lower latency and higher bandwidth versus other clouds. This is the cloud built for AI and all your biggest workloads. Right now, with zero commitment, try OCI for free. Head to oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic.
When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again, without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
Welcome back. Today, we're looking at excerpts from a Ferrari safety recall notice. It's for some 2025 29.6 models, focusing on an oil leak risk from a connection that wasn't tightened properly.
And, you know, the core safety message, it's incredibly clear. That do not drive warning. And the fire risk mention, absolutely vital. Gets the point across.
No question there.
But for this particular audience, these owners, there's definitely room to build more confidence and manage how this whole thing is perceived. Big opportunities.
Okay, so let's dive in. The document says the nut for the oil filter connection to the turbo feed pipes. Well, it wasn't tightened right.
Yeah.
Could cause a leak, potential fire. That's the essence of the problem described.
Right. And our first point really has to be about completeness. Technical specificity, because the explanation they give needs to really justify such a drastic action.
You mean the do not drive?
Exactly. The document's great on the danger fire risk, loud and clear, but the why? It feels a bit thin, technically speaking, especially for someone who owns and likely understands a high-performance car like this.
So the weakness is that just saying tightened incorrectly might, well, it might downplay how serious the engineering problem actually is?
Precisely. A do not drive warning is, I mean, that's extreme.
It is.
And for an owner who's probably quite knowledgeable, incorrectly tightened might sound almost like a simple slip up on the line. Maybe not enough to justify grounding the car immediately. It risks making it seem less critical from an engineering standpoint.
So the suggestion is to add a bit more technical meat to the explanation?
Yes, exactly. We need to give a little more context, maybe around how it fails or the specific stresses involved. You know, maintain that precise professional tone Ferrari uses, but add something that validates the severity.
Hmm. But is there a risk there? I mean, if it was genuinely just about torque specs not being met, could adding more detail imply a bigger design flaw that isn't actually there? Or just confuse people?
That's a fair point. But it's not about inventing complexity. It's about context. This isn't just any nut and bolt. It's part of a high-pressure, high-temperature system.
The turbocharger oil feed.
Right. So framing the failure in that context shows it's not just, you know, human error in isolation, but a failure of a critical tolerance in a demanding environment. That justifies the response.
Okay, I see the distinction. It's about the consequence of the error in that specific location. So what would that actually sound like? Give me an example.
Well, instead of just tightened incorrectly, you could be more specific about the result of that incorrect tightening. Something like highlighting the connection's inability to maintain pressure integrity under the high thermal cycling specific to the turbocharger feed lines.
Okay.
Or maybe frame it as a torque specification falling outside the narrow operating band required for these high-pressure, high-temperature components. See how that shifts it?
Yeah, it moves from sounding like a simple mistake to a, a precision engineering issue, something that absolutely requires grounding the car.
Exactly. It validates the do not drive and protects the brand's image of engineering excellence, even when admitting a fault.
That's a subtle but really important shift. Okay, so if we're talking precision, let's talk about the scope. This document mentions, almost buried later on, that it affects only 6 vehicles. 6.
Just 6.
Which is incredibly low. And that brings us straight to the second point, audience alignment, and really managing perception. That tiny number, it needs to be used much more effectively, right up front.
Because right now, the structure, probably for compliance reasons, it leads with the big, scary stuff.
Yeah. Oil leak near a combustible source increases the risk of a fire. That's front and center. The fact it's only 6 cars comes later.
And the weakness there is?
The weakness is that you're leading with a message that sounds like a potentially widespread catastrophe before revealing it's actually a highly contained issue.
For the wider audience, for media pickup, that can create unnecessary panic or negative coverage that's totally out of proportion to the actual situation. Especially for a premium brand where perception is everything.
But hang on. Don't regulations like NHTSA's require you to state the hazard clearly and upfront? How do you balance that legal need with the desire to, you know, not cause undue alarm and keep that premium, controlled tone?
You balance it with framing. Yes, you state the hazard clearly. Compliance demands that. But compliance doesn't forbid you from immediately contextualizing that hazard.
Ah, okay.
The suggestion is to weave that incredibly small number, 6 units, into the opening statement about the recall. Frame the entire action around that small number.
So shift the immediate tone. Make it less general warning, fire, and more specific action, precision intervention for 6 units.
Precisely. It changes the story. It becomes about meticulous quality control and rapid response on a tiny scale, not a widespread defect. Think about it like catching a tiny flaw in a limited run of bespoke suits. You highlight the catch, the fix, the exclusivity.
That makes sense. So, concretely, how would you phrase that in the summary?
You could start by emphasizing the proactive detection. Something like, as part of Ferrari's commitment to the highest safety and quality standards, our internal monitoring has identified a potential issue concerning the oil filter connection in an isolated group of 6 specific vehicles.
Okay, highlighting isolated group and 6 specific vehicles.
Specifically, certain 2025 29-6 GTS and GTB models. To ensure zero compromise on safety, we are issuing this immediate recall and do not drive advisory for these 6 units while we perform the necessary correction.
It immediately contains the issue, reassures the vast majority of owners, and frames it as proactive control.
That lands very differently. It feels much more managed.
Okay, that's scope. Now, let's talk about the action plan itself. Structure and flow here seem problematic.
Uh-huh.
Owners are told, do not drive. Serious stuff. But then, notification letters are expected to be mailed December 20th, 2025.
Yeah, that date jumps right out, doesn't it?
2 years from now? Almost?
That's a major structural issue. You have a high severity risk fire. You have the strongest possible instruction, do not drive. And then you have a communication timeline based on standard mail, nearly 2 years out. That just doesn't align.
The weakness seems obvious, that time lag. It completely undermines the urgency of the do not drive warning.
Absolutely. It's a huge gap. And frankly, for just 6 very high-value identifiable vehicles, relying on a mail notification 2 years down the line, that's potentially damaging from a customer service perspective, let alone the safety angle. It's just not acceptable.
So the suggestion has to be about immediacy.
Total immediacy. The document needs to spell out a much more aggressive, immediate communication strategy for those 6 specific VINs. That customer service number listed, it can't just be a reactive resource owners might call after getting a letter in 2025. It needs to be framed as part of an active, ongoing outreach right now.
Okay, but how do you actually put that into an official recall document like this? We need to bridge that gap before December 2025. What's the actionable fix for the text?
Right. You need a couple of things. First, you need a clear statement that the manufacturer isn't waiting for December 2025 for those six owners. Add something explicit.
Like what?
Like, Ferrari is initiating immediate direct contact with the owners of the six affected vehicles via telephone and certified priority methods within 24 hours to arrange for vehicle inspection and remedy at the owner's location or nearest authorized dealer. Something showing action now. The goal should be to get someone to those cars. Like, yesterday.
Okay. Direct immediate contact for the six. But what about everyone else? All the other 296 owners who might see this notice and, understandably, worry if their car is one of the six, especially with that weird future date still floating around.
Good point. That's the second part of the fix. You need to provide an immediate channel for all other 296 owners to get peace of mind instantly.
How?
Add a clear, proactive instruction right alongside the re-all notice. Something like, owners of 2025 296 models can immediately verify if their specific vehicle is included in this recall by contacting Ferrari customer service at 1-201-816-2668 or by using the VIN lookup tool on our website, referencing recall RC93.
Ah, so you give the unaffected majority a quick way to confirm they're okay.
Exactly. It prevents widespread anxiety, manages calls to customer service efficiently, and shows you're considering all your owners, not just the six directly impacted. It closes that perceived gap created by the future mail date.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, this has been really helpful. So just to recap the big opportunities here for improving this document.
Yeah. Three main things we identified.
First, beef up the technical details slightly. Frame the incorrectly tightened nut issue in a way that really validates the severity and the do not drive order for this expert audience. Make it sound like the precision engineering concern it is.
Right. Second, leverage that incredibly small number, just six vehicles, right from the start. Use it to frame the recall as a targeted, high-precision action, managing perception and preventing unnecessary panic. Contextualize immediately.
And finally, fix that timeline issue. Make it crystal clear that for the six affected owners, contact and action are immediate, happening now. And provide an instant verification path for all other owners so that December 2025 date becomes relevant for reassurance.
Exactly. Implement those changes and you get a document that's not just compliant, but actually builds confidence, demonstrates control, and aligns perfectly with the expectations of Ferrari owners. It turns a potential PR issue into a demonstration of meticulous care.
Excellent. We really hope these suggestions are actionable. Please feel free to revise the material based on this critique and send it back our way. We'd be happy to take another look.